Okay, lesson 14. Learn about the Niphal stem. Headed Nishmar, he was guarded, he took care. So, section 1. Kal and Niphal forms. In our reading exercises, we have chiefly used Kal verbs, like Shamar, he guarded, and Haya, he was. Though in our reading, we've come across Niphal, Piel, Hifiel, and Hitpael. And in this lesson, we'll review some of what we've already seen concerning the Kal, and then we'll look at the Niphal. So remember, the Kal is light form. It's sort of the plain vanilla. So section 2. Most Kal verbs indicate either A, what someone does. So Shamar, he kept. Shamah, he heard. Harag, he killed. Or the state something or someone is in. Kaved, it is heavy, or he is honored. Katon, it is small, or he is unimportant. Haya, it was, it is, he is, where you have to fix the time reference by context. And these verbs follow the patterns we've seen in lessons 4, 6, 10, 12, and 13. And that pattern is summarized at the end of the book in the tables, and we'll find it summarized on the next page. Once we know shamarti means I kept or I guarded, we don't need a separate table of verbs to tell us that katonti means I was small. So it's got a similar ending. Section 3. In a dictionary, for most verbs, you will find the entry under the kal third person singular masculine form. So that's the real plain vanilla form. There's no prefix, no suffix, no infix, so nothing in the middle. It's the simplest form there is. So katal for he killed, and that's the verb that's used to sort of give the paradigm usually. Kaved, it was heavy or he was honored. Katon, it was small. And then in the dictionary after the kal forms, you'll find the Niphal forms. Some verbs have Niphal but no kal. In section 6, we'll see examples of nistar, he hid. Nimlat, he escaped. Nishba, he swore an oath. Nirdam, he was deeply asleep. So we had that in Jonah 1. Nicham, which we had in Jonah 3, he felt sorry. Though kal forms of these verbs are not found in the Hebrew Bible, you will still find them under kal entries in many dictionaries. So even though it doesn't occur in the kal, that's how it will be listed. So you'd have to know that nistar, the kal root of that is satar. For Nimlat, you'd look under Malat, and Shava, Radam, and Naham, and so on. In section 4, the Kal and the Niphal forms of Shamar are set out so that they can be compared. Then we'll look at the range of meanings indicated by Niphal, which is three broad areas, passive, reflexive, and reciprocal. Okay, so pages 164 and 165, we get the chart, the paradigm for the left-hand side, the kal, and the right-hand side, the nifal. And this is for what we call a strong verb, where all three letters are strong. So remember, there are strong letters and weak letters, and weak letters tend to disappear. But shamar is a strong verb, three strong letters. For the kal, we have in the perfective, shamar, he guarded, that's the plain vanilla basic form. No suffix, no prefix. The perfectives in the kal generally have suffixes. There are no prefixes. So we have shamar, shamra, for she guarded, shamarta, shamart, shamarti. And then in the plural, shamaru, shamartem, shamarten, shamarnu. Okay, so let's run through those and say those. Shamar, shamara, shamarta, shamart, shamarti, shamaru, shamartem, shamarten, shamarnu. So perfective, things viewed as a completed action. The imperfective, these all have prefixes, and then many of them also have a suffix as well. But what distinguishes them is that they have prefix. So the perfective, generally, you have a suffix. The imperfective is a prefix. And so sometimes they get called the suffix conjugation and the prefix conjugation. So yishmor, yishmor, tishmor, and tishmor is both third feminine singular and second masculine singular. You'd have to use context to tell which. Tishmori, eshmor, then for the plural, yishmaru, tishmorna. And tishmorna is also ambiguous. It can be third feminine plural or second feminine plural. You'd have to use context. Tishmaru, tishmorna, and nishmor. So for the prefixes, note that in the first person singular, we have aleph. First person plural, the prefix is nun. Second person, both singular and plural, the prefix is t, so a tav. And then for the third person, it's a yod, yishmaru, except for the third feminine plural, except for the third feminine where it's also a tav. Then we have imperatives, and these are singular and plural, masculine and feminine. Shmor, shimri, shimru, shmorna. Okay, shmor, shimri, shimru, shmorna. Then we have two infinitives, an absolute and a construct, shamor and shmor. Shamor, shmor. So shamor, the absolute, usually with a longer verb, and then shmor, the construct, usually the vowel shortens. Then we have participles. Again, also, like the imperatives, these are masculine and feminine, singular and plural, so there's four of them. Shomer, shomeret, shomrim, shomrot. So, shomer, shomeret, shomrim, shomrot. Then we have a continuing narrative form of the verb. Third masculine singular is vayishmor. Vayishmor, so it always begins with a vav and patach, and then a dagesh in the next consonant. And then the jessiv, yishmor. Yishmor. And you can think of the jessiv as a third person command. Let him guard. For a strong verb, the jessiv is the same as the imperfective. So notice that the third masculine singular imperfective is yishmor. And that's the same for the jessiv. And then the continuing narrative form of the verb is the jessiv with that va prefixed on the front, vayishmor. And for a strong verb, those would be the same as the imperfectives. So you would just run through this list of imperfectives and put the va on the front, and that gives you the continuing narrative forms of the verb. Okay? So that's the kal for a strong verb. Page 165, now we get the nifal. So we have nishmar instead of shamar. So nishmar, this is a perfective. Nishmara, nishmarta, nishmart, nishmarti. And then plural, nishmaru, nishmartem, nishmarten, nishmarnu. So notice that the endings are all the same as for the kal, but now we have a prefix on them all, ni. So nun, hirek, prefix. For the imperfective, the vowels change a little bit. We have yishamer, tishamer, tishamer, also third feminine singular and second masculine singular, tishamri, eshamer, and in the plural, yishamru, tishamerna, tishamarna, tishamru, tishamarna, and nishamer. So we have the same prefixes as we had for the kal. And when we have a suffix, they're the same. The distinguishing, the noticeable feature there's some change in the vowels, but the noticeable thing is that there's a dagesh in the first letter of the root. And that's because there was a nun originally on the front, and that nun, which is the part of the nifal, disappeared and got assimilated into the leading letter of the... That's how you would know that that is a nifal. That's sort of the dead giveaway of it, tells that that's a nifal. Then we have the imperatives. Hishamer, hishamri, Hishamru, Hishamarna. Okay, Hishamir, Hishamri, Hishamru, Hishamarna. And again, notice they all begin with a hirik prefix with a dagesh in the first consonant of the root. That tells you also there that there was once a nun that has been assimilated into that. But otherwise, they have a similar pattern to the kal imperatives. And then the infinitives. The absolute has two forms, either hishamor, in which, again, a dagesh in the first root, first letter of the root, or nishmor, where it still has, the nun is separate, and has not been assimilated, but there isn't the he prefix. And then the construct has one form, hishamer, again with a dagesh in that first root letter. The participle, we have nishmar, nishmara, nishmarim, nishmarot. Nishmar, nishmara, nishmarim, nishmarot. So similar to the kal participles, but all with that nih prefix. Continuing narrative form of the verb is vayishamer, and the jussive is yishamer. Again, for a strong verb, the jussive is the same as the imperfective. And the continuing narrative is the jussive prefixed by va. There's no dagesh in the participles because there's still the nun. The nun is on front. The nun has not been assimilated. So note that nun is a weak letter. So the weak letters are the three vowel consonants, he, vav, and yod, and then nun. After any letter added before the stem, e.g., for example, aleph for I, nun for we, he in imperative and infinitive, the nun is combined with the first consonant of the stem. So in shamar, the sheen becomes has a dagesh in it. So the nun gets assimilated into that when there is a letter added before that stem. Okay, so that's the form of the nifal. And the way you're going to recognize that as you read along is either there's going to be a nih prefix on the front or there'll be a dagesh in the first root letter. And the translation will depend upon the context, which we're going to cover starting on the next page, the range of meanings. But the range of meanings is it's passive or reflexive or reciprocal. Be that sort of broad range of meanings. It will look like hifil, except there's not a hirek yod in it, yes. So hifils will usually have a hirek yod between the second and the third letters of the root. And it will have a dagesh in the first letter, yes, of the root. Mm-hmm. So the nifal, the range of meanings. The term nifal tells us about the form or structure of a Hebrew verb, indicates that it has a nun before the stem, which may be visible, as in nishmar, to take heed, or invisible, as in hishamer, where it's been assimilated into that sheen. The meanings, we cannot tell much about the meaning of a verb simply by knowing that its form is nifal. We have to take context into account. So nishmar might mean either he was guarded, in the sense of that's passive, or he took heed not to do something, which really would be reflexive. He guarded himself. The best we can do is to indicate a variety of shades of meaning that may be expressed by nifal verbs. And here, anytime you go from one language to another, and especially when you're crossing a language family boundary, like going from between Hebrew and English, words have a range of meanings, and you have to get familiar with their semantic field. You can't just come up for many words with a straight one-to-one correspondence. So that's where you have to get a feel for words. So we'll start by considering the word dressed in English and some grammatical terms which may be used to indicate the variety of its meanings. I was dressed by my mother, so that's passive. I was dressed and given breakfast, that's an incomplete passive because we're not told who did the dressing. I dressed myself, that's reflexive or middle. So the middle voice. We dressed each other, that's reciprocal, And in the active voice, we were well dressed. In that case, we're using dressed as an adjective, and it's stative, it describes a state. And I dressed my doll, that's active. And note that it's the context that helps fix the meaning, because in all those cases, the same word dressed has been used. Nifal forms cover almost the whole span between active and passive. From te'azev, she will be abandoned, and ye'ase, it may be done for you. Now, both of those are confusing because you can't put a dagesh in the ayin, so we're lacking the distinguishing clue. To then yilachem, where we do have a dagesh in that lamed, he will fight. So section 6, we get range of examples. Kal third person singular is given for comparison in cases where a kal form is used. So, nifals can be more or less passive when something is done or may be done. Exodus 12:16, we have kal form would be asah, he did. We have hu levado ye'aseh lachem. Hu levado ye'aseh lachem. So who, that's our demonstrative pronoun. Levado, by itself, or that alone, ye'aseh lachem, will be done to you. So there being asa being used as a passive. Esther 1:19, the verb katav, we have vayikatev bedate paras or faras u madai. Vayikatev bedate faras u madai. Vayikatev, and let it be written. So notice the dagesh in the kaf there. Let it be written, bedate, in the decrees or in the laws of Farasu Madai, Persia and Media. So Vayikatev, a passive. Genesis 2:4, we have Behibaram. So this is, we've got a bait prefix in. And then we have, notice that hey hirek prefix with a dagesh in the first letter of the root. So this is a nifal infinitive. Remember the hey is prefixed onto the infinitives and the participles in the nifal. And then am ending is them, third masculine plural. So in the making of them. So it's a very compact Hebrew word that takes five English words to translate when they were created. So that too is passive because it's referring to the heavens and the earth when they were created and all their host. Esther 3:13, v'nishloach sefarim. So from shalach to send, he sent. Here, and sefarim, letters or scrolls or writings, or here, this is edicts going out from the rulers, so dispatches were sent. And finally, Esther 7:4, ki nimkarnu ani v'ami. Ki nimkarnu ani v'ami. For I and my people, ami, my people, nimkarnu, are being sold or have been sold. Makar is to sell, here nifal as a passive. Okay, so that's one range of meaning, basically passive. Nifal can also indicate a state that something is or may be in or has the potential to be in. So Jonah 3:4, v'Nineveh nechpachet. V'Nineveh nechpachet. So nechpachet there is a nifal participle, feminine singular, because cities are feminine. And Nineveh will be, well, hafak is in the kal is he turned over or he destroyed. Here it's Nineveh will be turned over, will be destroyed. So it will be put into that state. Genesis 3:6, V'nechmad ha'etz lehaskil. V'nechmad ha'etz lehaskil. So ha'etz, the tree, was nechmad, was desirable. So hamad, he desired. Here we have a nifal, to be in the state of being desired. Lehaskil, to gain wisdom, to gain insight. Haskil, notice the hirek yod there. That tells you it's a hifil. And then we also have from yare, he feared, we have a nifal nora, which can be awesome or fearsome. So in sense of awesome, nifal. Bahar, he chose. It's nifal nivhar. Can be used, really, these get used really as adjectives. To be pleasing, to be choice. So that's the second range of meaning. Indicates a state that something's in. Thirdly, they can indicate, have a more or less a middle meaning, where action is done which chiefly concerns the person who does it. So this often is then reflexive. So 1 Samuel 25:1, Vayikavtzu kol Yisrael, Vayikavtzu kol Yisrael, and all Israel gathered together. So kavats, he gathered, from which we get kibbutz, where people gather together and live. And here, as a nifal, well, all Israel, it's not that they were gathered together by somebody else, but really they all gathered themselves together. This sort of reflexive idea. Ezra 3:1, Vayeasfu ha'am ke'ish echad. Vayeasfu ha'am ke'ish echad. So ha'am, the people, ke'ish echad, as one man. So echad there, one. Ye asafu, asaf, he gathered, he collected, can be really synonymous with kavats. Here, as a nifal, they gathered, really they gathered together, they came together, reflexive, something they did to themselves. Esther 9:2, nichalu ha yehudim be'arehem, nichalu ha yehudim be'arehem. Ha-Yehudim, the Jews, so the people of Yehuda, the Jews, be'arehem, in their cities, and then kahal is he gathered, here nikahalu, they gathered themselves together. 1 Samuel 20:24, vayisater David basade, vayisater David Basade. So David hid in the countryside. Now, Yisater is in the Nephal, but it's not that somebody else hid him there. He hid himself. So something he did to himself, reflexive, middle. Genesis 3:10, Adam replying to God in the garden, Va'ira ki erom anochi va'ehave. Va'ira ki erom anoki va ehave. So va ira from yara, he feared. So I feared ki erom anoki, because naked I am. So erom, naked, anoki, I. Va ehave, and I hid. Well, it's not that somebody else hid him, that would be passive. Here it's he hid himself, so really reflexive. Genesis 19:17, Himalet al nafsheka, Himalet al nafsheka. Malat, be escape, here Himalet as an imperative, so notice the hi prefix and the dagesh in the mem, escape, al nafsheka, against your life, upon your life, for your life. It's not somebody else who's making him escaping. He would do it to himself. It's nifal. And you would immediately know it's nifal because of the dagesh in the mem. And then you notice it's got a hi prefix. So that can tell you it's either imperative or participle. But it doesn't, A, it doesn't have the right vowel pointing for, sorry, it'd be either an imperative or an infinitive. And you may then recognize that the vowel pattern is for an imperative, and an infinitive wouldn't really fit the context that well, whereas an imperative would. That's when it gets tricky. if it's a guttural, if the first letter is a guttural, and so you can't put a dagesh in it, then it gets a little more tricky to recognize it as a nifal, because you're missing the distinguishing feature. Genesis 24:6, Shamar he guarded. We have Hishamer Lekha, Hishamer Lekha. So notice the dagesh in the first letter of the root tells you it's nifal. The hi prefix tells you it's imperative or infinitive. And here, infinitive works. Take heed for yourself. So guard yourself. It's not you're being guarded by somebody else. It's guard yourself in terms of what you will then do. And then the next verse. Va asher nishba li. Va asher nishba li. And who bound himself by an oath to me. So asher, relative pronoun. Nishba has to do with swearing. And swearing an oath to me. And that's really something you bind yourself to in swearing an oath. Jonah 1:5 that we had in our reading earlier. Vayishkav vayeradam. Vayishkav vayeradam. Vayishkav, then he lay down and he fell asleep. Now, yeradam is a nifal, but we're missing, we can't put a dagesh in the resh. So it becomes rather more difficult to recognize. But he fell asleep as something he did to himself. Genesis 12:7, Vayera Adonai el Avram. Vayera Adonai el Avram. Ra'a, he saw. In the Nifal, you can think of it sort of he allowed himself to be seen in the sense of he appeared. The Lord appeared to Abram. So he was seen by Abram. Genesis 3:5, Nifkahu Einechem. Nifkahu Einechem. Your eyes will open. Pakach, in the kal, he opened, in the sense of opening eyes. Here, your eyes will open. They will open themselves. So reflexive. And Leviticus 25:47. The Nimkar Lager. The Nimkar Lager. Ger is a foreigner or a sojourner. Makar, he sold. Here, Nimkar, he sold himself to a foreigner. So that's reflexive. Then, Nifals can express feeling, emotion, or purpose. Proverbs 29:2. U Vimshol Rasha Ye'ana. U vimshol rasha ye'anach am. U, there we're taking as but. Rasha is a wicked person, a wicked man. Mashal is to rule, to govern. And the bait on the front we could take as a bait of time, but when. But when a rasha, a wicked man, mshol, rules, Ye'anach am. When he rules over people, they ye'anach, they groan. And Genesis 6:6. This is where we first get this verb, Vayinachem. Adonai ki asa et ha'adam ba'aretz. Vayinachem Adonai ki asa et ha'adam ba'aretz. And the Lord regretted, repented, relented, was sorry, was grieved that he had made Ha'adam, mankind, on the earth. So that's a state expressing feeling, emotion, or purpose. Then the Nifal can have a reciprocal idea. Malachi 3:16, as Nidbaru Yirei Adonai Ish et Re'ehu, as Yidbaru Yirei Adonai Ish et Re'ehu. As is then. Nidbaru, they spoke. Who spoke? It's the Yirei Adonai. Yirei, masculine plural, construct, participle. The ones fearing the Lord. They spoke. Ish et Re'ehu. Ish there we take as each. Each to his. And Re'e there, his neighbor, his associate, his friend. Here really probably the idea to the one next to him. Each to the other. Each one to the other. So the Nidbaru is reciprocal. They're talking one to the other. Okay? But then, three verses earlier, he points out that Ma Nidbarnu, Ma Nidbarnu, we have a Niphal, and here has more of a different meaning. What have we spoken? And then occasionally it'll be more or less active. Exodus 14:14, Adonai Yilachem Lachem. Adonai Yilachem Lachem. And Lachem to fight, it's generally in the Niphal, and we really would just translate that into English as a straight active. The Lord will fight for you. Now, gur is just, it's from the verb, ger is from gur, to go and sojourn in another land, spend time in another land, be a resident alien. Okay, and then section 7, we get a list of verbs that occur in the Niphal, but there's no kal, where then you would have to look up under, but you would have to look up under what the kal would be if you want to look them up in a dictionary or in a lexicon. So for the verbs kahal, satar, malat, shava, radam, anna, and nacham, they all occur in the Niphal, but not in the kal. So we'll stop there, and next week we will look at section 8, learn about these ashes in that reading we had in 1 Kings 13, vocabulary on page 170, and then there's more reading on page 171, where you read Jonah chapters 1 and 3 again, and then also read chapter 4. So I'll hand out that text to you.